Hello, Story Connect listeners. This is Andy. Thank you again for listening in on this new episode of Story Connect, the podcast. We are glad that you did. Want to let you know of a quick update. We have launched a page jointly with Vantage Point called broadbandlabels.coop. Broadbandlabels.coop is built to be a resource for folks like yourself who are trying to figure out all of the who, what, when, where of the broadband labels requirements that are coming up. And we just wanted to put that page out there again at broadbandlabels.coop as a resource for you. We're going to post any new information we have. It's full of frequently asked questions from the experts over at Vantage Point and from what we're hearing from Pioneer members. Hope you enjoy the episode. Hope that page is useful to you. And now we'll get on with the regularly scheduled episode.
A production of Pioneer Utility Resources. Story Connect, helping communicators discover ideas to shape their stories and connect with their customers.
What are the latest details on broadband labels, and what does it mean for marketing and communication staff? That's what we'll be talking about on this episode of Story Connect podcast. My name is Andy Johns, your host with Pioneer, and I'm joined on this episode by Derek DeVries, who is a senior analyst with Vantage Point. Derek, thanks so much for joining me.
Yes, thank you.
Now, no pressure, Derek, but the episode we had with Jeff from Vantage Point last year about broadband labels was our number one most listened to episode of 2023. So obviously, there's a lot of interest in the broadband labels, folks trying to understand it. But I don't want to psych you out or anything to know there's that kind of pressure riding on how we do here today.
Yeah, Jeff, he's a very intelligent man. Yeah, he does a great job with speaking, podcasts, so big shoes to fill, but we're ready.
By all accounts, you are too. So I think we're in pretty good shape. But when we recorded that episode last year, there was still a lot up in the air. You know, we did some responsible speculating, some educated guesses, and kind of the best we knew at the time. But since that episode earlier this year, it's come out with some more firm details about what those broadband labels entail. What do we know right now? And I know there are a couple of deadlines up here we could talk about, but what do we know right now about broadband labels?
Yeah. So, I mean, all the rules are out there, your regulation rules, what you need to do to be compliant. Everything's out there. There are some gray areas where you have to work through. But yeah, those dates are out there. You have, if you're a larger carrier, if you have over 100,000 subscribers, you have until April 10th. If you have less than 100,000, you have until October 10th. So the dates are out there. They've given you enough time to get these up and compliant and up and running on your websites and such where you need to post them. So all the rules are there and you just got to work through the process.
Now, we'll get back to this at the end, but you know, it's been kind of a positive message from what I've heard from both from y'all at Vantage Point and from some of the other sessions and conferences I've been to where this has been discussed. But I really think, you know, the folks who are doing it right, the folks who have good networks, the folks who don't have a lot of gimmicks and promotional prices on top or whatever, I think that this overall, the broadband labels are going to be a plus for those folks. Is that kind of where you come down as well?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you have to lay out all of your pricing information, speed information. So I think all those details being out there is going to help those, your current customers and potential future customers in making that right decision on which provider they would like to go with.
Got it. Well, let's jump in because I know, like I said before, we push the record button. Most of the folks on this or that listen to Story Connect are not your regulatory folks. It's mainly marketing and communications folks. So the big question that we keep hearing that there, you know, folks are asking us here at Pioneer is, where do I have to put these labels? So let's start there with the broadband labels. It's point of sale, right? What does that mean?
Yeah, so any location that a customer could go request service or sign up for service, the main one is your website. You're going to have to display them on your website. They have to be easily accessible for a user that is on your website. So it can't be hidden through a bunch of links. Most of the time, they're right where your packages or services are. It's just a link saying, here's a link to the broadband labels. Additionally, it has to be displayed at every ISP-owned location. It's pretty much just where your headquarters is, where a customer could come into your office and get service. Those could both be hard copied, or if you have a computer or an iPad that they sign up service for, you could just have them directly on your website saying, hey, if you want to see the labels, here they are. So it doesn't actually have to be a paper form. However, we are advising to have some type of printout created at your headquarters where they sign up for service.
All right, now, are you thinking that's okay to have a paper on at the counter or brochure? Does this need to be plastered on the wall? I mean, when folks have been talking about where the, you know, equivalencies or whatever, you know, a lot of the bars have to have things about alcohol or you know, anytime there's, you know, folks are just unsure. But right now, do we know where and how they'll have to be displaying these, or it just has to be present in the customer facing area?
Correct. It just has to be present. It doesn't have to be anything big or special. It just has to be easily accessible for those customers or anybody that comes into your headquartered office.
Got it. And so that would
nothing on like a bulletin board or anything like that.
Okay. So it would have to be at every office then, if they have multiple Correct. Buildings. And then as I understand it as well, if there's, you know, some folks will do like a mobile sign up, or, you know, when folks are going into a new territory, they've just got a CLEC area where they're building out, and they're going to have a community meeting where people can sign up for service, or whether it's a parade or county fair or whatever. I mean, anywhere where people can sign up for service, it needs to be there, right?
Correct. Yep. It has to be accessible to anywhere that you could potentially sign up a customer for service. So like you said, a county fair, if you have a booth or any other community events, you're going to have the labels accessible there as well.
And when we talk about the labels themselves, one of the challenges that I've seen from a lot of the telco folks that have legacy packages, you know, there, I forget, for a long time, I was keeping track of the record for the telco with the most packages. I think it was up around 16 or 17.
Yeah.
Just based on, you know, folks still having some copper or, you know, anything like that. If you're building greenfield and you've only got two or three packages, that only means two or three labels. But for folks that have a dozen or, you know, multiple packages, they have to have one of these labels ready for every speed that they offer, basically, right?
Correct. And that would only be for packages or services that you currently would offer to a new customer. So if it's any old package, for example, you have some copper that you only have three subscribers that are signed up for, but you don't offer it to a new customer coming in, you're not required to make any of those. So only for new services that you would offer to a new customer.
Okay. That's a big, that's an important detail. So right now, you know, one of the questions that folks had asked, if on the marketing mailer or on the billboard or anything or like that, they promote a price, they can talk about speed and packages and all that, and they don't have to have the label on those marketing pieces, as you understand it, and it's kind of the working assumption right now, right?
Yep, that's correct. Yeah. So I mean, a lot of those marketing tools, they're still gonna have to call them or go to your website to sign up for service. So you're not required to put those on any of those marketing tools. It's only when they actually could fill out the form on that marketing sheet and mail it in. And then that would be an example where you may have to put that on that marketing sheet. But in most cases, they'll just go to your website to sign up or call in.
Okay. You just mentioned calling in. So let's talk about that piece too, because this is one where I've been talking to marketing people and, you know, most marketing people are not lawyers, but they can spot a loophole at times. So what are the guidelines that you guys are setting on the recorded audible versions of the broadband labels as well? Because I know that's kind of a different piece of it.
Yep. So yeah, that is one of the requirements. You have to make this label accessible to everybody. So that would be if someone calls in for service, you're required to read that label over the phone to them. One little loophole that we have found was if that person does have internet service already, you can direct them to the company website instead of having your sales team read the label over the phone or have a recording. A good loophole would be directing them to your website. But you're still going to be required to train those salespeople or have a recording because not everybody is going to have internet service or access to internet. So, or smartphone, for example, they won't have access to internet. So
So, I mean, to me, the, you know, as somebody that thinks about the sales process or the, you know, kind of fitting process, nothing kills the momentum of a phone call like reading, because they would have to read multiple of these labels, right?
So correct, yeah.
Most folks that you're talking to, are the, is it like a press two to hear the recording kind of a situation, or what are most folks doing?
Yeah, most are going to the recording. We think that's probably the easiest solution. So then you're not making your sales team get trained on how to read these labels. And someone reading it might take longer than a recording. However, we understand that customers, they don't like listening to recordings a lot of the time. But it is a requirement that we have to work through. And that's the best solution that we have found, is going with the recording stage. Like you said, press two to hear the recording of the labels.
So that, I mean, and that could almost be at the beginning of the call when, you know, we got like that boilerplate in there where it says, you know, calls may be recorded for, you know, customer, for evaluation or whatever, press two for Spanish if you do that. And then just right there at the beginning, if you want to hear the, you know, mandated broadband labels or however you want to phrase it. But it could go right there and still satisfy the requirements, right?
Correct. Yep. You're making it available to them right away, right off the bat. So, yep.
Got it. Now, you mentioned earlier the goal of these labels is to make them accessible. The goal and the mandate is to make them accessible to everybody. So one of the rules in here that I'm not sure everybody has seen, but the labels have to be available in the way that I understand the wording is basically every language that you market in or you send communication pieces in, right?
Correct. Yeah. So in most cases that would be English and Spanish. However, in some cases you might market in different languages, but yeah, you are required to make them in every language that you currently market in.
And is that marketing? Is that defined? Well, is that one time we send out a postcard in Spanish and so therefore we always have to do it? Or is it, are there guidelines there as to what exactly that means?
Yeah, there aren't too many guidelines. What we've kind of been pushing for is, if you consistently market in that language, then that would be a requirement. If you have your packages, for example, on your website, if they're able to switch that into different language, those types of things.
Okay, got it. So that's an interesting point. If you know, Google Translate can translate anything. So that might be a gray area there. And thanks for handling so many of these so rapid fire. Before this call, I went ahead and talked to our account managers just to see what kind of questions they were getting. So I appreciate you knocking these down. Another one that folks are wondering about is updating. So how often is there a requirement on how often these need to be updated, or is it basically whenever the speeds change, or what are the updating guidelines?
Yeah. So whenever you change a package, be speed, pricing, any packaging changes, contract changes, if you're required to sign a contract for a year, those types of things. So any change to the actual service plan is when you'll have to update these labels.
Got it. What are the right now, and I guess we'll see, but what are the teeth in this? We know that everybody who listens to Story Connect and almost all of the folks are operating, most of our folks and they're going to operate in good faith, but what are some of the penalties? I mean, this is obviously something anytime the feds are involved, you want to take it pretty seriously.
Yeah. So right now there are no, you're not required to submit these labels to the FCC or anything like that for as far as compliance. That is something they might add down the road. But as of right now, you're not required to submit any of this information to the FCC. One way that you might be, they can reach out to you and require you to provide the labels to them. Then you have 30 days to get them submitted to the FCC via that email, or if that's going to be in their actual FCC portal or system. As far as penalties, I believe it's for each violation, it's $10,000, but not exceeding $75,000. So there are some big penalties coming from this. How urgent, or if they're going to give you some leeway on, okay, well, you've made the label, but this is out of compliance, just change it and update your other labels. We aren't sure how they're going to regulate that. But as far as not creating labels at all, I think that could be a big red flag to the FCC, and that's where you might get some fines and penalties.
Yeah, nothing blows a marketing budget like having $50,000 fine or whatever it is.
Yep.
Okay, so definitely something that folks are going to want to do. Let's dive in even deeper and get a little bit nerdy. But as if talking about broadband labels for 15 minutes wasn't nerdy enough. With the labels themselves, we've seen the templates out there, and you know everybody's familiar with the way kind of that nutrition label was what folks were comparing it to earlier. Yep. It needs to be, as I understand it, machine readable is kind of the phrase that you see over and over again. So those labels must be made in a way that's machine readable.
Correct. Yep. Yep. And that's just for that ability. Yeah. The Disability Act, where it's accessible to everybody, that they can go to your website and they'll read that for them. So.
Got it. One of the questions that we've had quite a few folks ask is the labels require a UPI or a unique plan identifier number. So let's break that down if we can. So it's got, you know, when you see these, it's like a 15 character string of letters and numbers, usually starting with an F or an M, right? Talk me through that.
Yep. So it starts with that F or M. That's just for the technology of that service. So it's either F for fixed or M for mobile.
Okay. So if somebody's got fiber or copper, that's going to be fixed.
Correct. Yep.
Only if it's a mobile plan. Have we figured out the folks that have a fixed wireless option? I mean, it says fixed in the name, so I guess we're going with fixed on those.
Yep.
Okay. Got it. All right. And then the next thing it needs is the FRN, which is not a term I was familiar with, but that's a regulatory number?
Yes. So it stands for the federal regulation number. So each internet provider should have an FRN associated to that company.
Got it. And then it's the big long string of numbers behind that. And that ties back to, I guess, ties back to the ACP.
Yeah. So that last string of 15 characters, it can be randomly generated. We're suggesting or advising to make that unique to that service plan. So, for example, if you have like a gold, silver, bronze package, literally spell out gold and then whatever your speed is of that package, and then you can randomize the last characters to make 15. How you mentioned, similar to ACP, that data collection, whatever unique identifier you made for that filing that was back in this previous fall, that service plan is going to have to match those unique IDs. And that's where it was kind of backwards. They were hoping these labels would be pushed out before that ACP data collection started. So then it was a little bit easier, but now it's backwards. So whatever you filed for that ACP data collection is now going to have to match whatever is on these labels.
Got it. And with the ACP, you are advising folks with the future of that being kind of up in the air, to say the least.
Yeah.
yep. Even if ACP winds up going away before these labels are required, just with all that up in the air, I guess you guys are still advising, go ahead and use those anyway.
Yeah, make them match. Yep. That was something they added. I mean, in the last, I think it was when they released the final report and order back in last October, to add those to make them match whatever is reported in ACP. Is that just for their future regulation comparing the two? Not sure, but
got it. Well, I think, you know, I was looking over my list of questions here. I think that fairly well wraps up most of what I had. But just in closing here, what advice do you have, Derek, for folks that are looking at this? Maybe they're scared. Maybe they're, you know, when you talk about those fines and, you know, small staff, whatever it is. What advice would you have for folks who are looking at having to get these out? Most of the folks on listening to this probably looking at that October date. What tips would you give them, or advice do you have for them?
Yeah, I mean, I would start looking at those rules, regulations now. We all know that later this year is going to get very busy. There's a lot of funds out there being released. You're going to have to create applications for those funds. BEAD funding is a big one. So start working on these now. Obviously, you don't have to get them up and running until October, but start working out of getting these created. Getting ahead of the game is going to help you in the future. So especially with the busy fall and coming up. So the other thing is there's more regulation than just.
And on that, do you have folks that you're working with that already have theirs up? I mean, is it?
We have a few that have them up and running on their website. I mean, they were up and running right after this October date. So they have, we have a few that are, have them up and running already, but many are waiting until after this April 1st or April 10th deadline to see what these larger carriers, providers are doing, learning from their errors, mistakes, and then working forward through them.
Got it. And I'm sorry to cut you off. You're talking about the other regulations.
Yeah. So there are some other things that you should be looking at. For one is your network privacy policies, getting those updated. Some of those might not have been looked at for a couple of years, going through updating them, making sure they're in compliance. So that was the other thing I was going to mention is, yeah, some of that backend stuff.
And is that, that is different than CP&I that folks are familiar with, or that is, that's going to fall into the same piece there?
Yep. So these network management privacy policy stuff should be on your website already. They're just, a lot of them are just linked to your website. So part of the label is just linked to your website to those policies. So.
Got it. Yep. Well, I've learned a lot on this call. I know that a lot of the listeners that we have on here have as well. So Derek, thank you for sharing that wisdom. And of course, I would imagine folks would be welcome to reach out to you or folks at Vantage Point if they need help and need somebody to hold their hand through this process.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, we are in the process of creating a tool to help create these labels, archiving them for the 2 years. That's one of the compliances, as well as creating a easy copy paste tool that you can copy into your website to make it machine readable. That is one of the nice bonuses of the tool that we're creating, as well as a possible recording created for you from the based off the label. So we're working on that process. We're hoping to get that rolled out by early April. We're really pushing for early April timeframe to give enough time to get these up and running for internet providers. So.
Perfect. Sounds like a good and important resource for folks. So,
yes.
And if you are listening and you have a powerful website from Pioneer, we've also got a tool there that will do help build the labels and keep it updated on the website as well. So be sure to reach out to the folks. If you are in that scenario, be sure to reach out to either your folks at Vantage Point or the folks at Pioneer if we do your website to get some help. Derek, thanks for joining me.
Perfect. Thanks, Andy.
He is Derek DeVries. He is a senior analyst with Vantage Point. I'm Andy Johns with Pioneer. And until we talk again, keep telling your story.
Story Connect is produced by Pioneer Utility Resources, a communications cooperative that is built to share your story. Story Connect is engineered by Lucas Smith of Lucky Sound Studio.